Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Amen. How y'all doing tonight?
Excellent.
Excellent. Got one excellent few holy murders. Felt this morning that something broke in the spirit realm. I don't know what y'all felt, but for years it's been like a wall has been up where people wouldn't come to the Lord. Not because God's spirit wasn't drawn, but there was just like a wall, a hindrance. But I felt like that wall was torn down today. I felt it in the spirit realm. And that's what I want to talk tonight about. I want to talk about the Spirit of the Lord, because in these last days, God's Spirit is speaking. And it's important that we understand that God's Spirit is in us, but God wants it flowing out of us. He put it in us that it might flow out of us to a lost, to a damned, to a dying world. And out of our belly, the Bible says, shall flow rivers of living water. That's where God wants to take us this year, if we'll allow Him. That's where God wants to take us. This church, this body, and individual people in this body, that's where God wants to take us. Is He wants us to tap into that river and just begin to flow. It's in us. It just has to get out of us. It was never meant to stay dormant. It was never meant to just stay there damp and cold. It was meant to burn and to burn alive. And there are many people in here with gifts of prophecy, gifts, the gift of faith. There are many people in here with those gifts, and God wants those gifts to be manifested, because we're going to need those gifts to operate as God begins to move, as God begins to pour out His Spirit. It's important that we let God, it's important that we draw nigh to God so He can draw nigh to us. It's important that we draw nigh to God. It's important. Our life depends on it. Our spiritual life depends on it. Indeed, there is a people that draweth nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. I say unto you this day, draw near to me with a true heart, and I will show you great and mighty things, saith the Lord. I went through a real battle of discouragement. And it wasn't because of people turning back on God. It wasn't because God wasn't doing it. It was because of the very call of God in my life. Because I was afraid of the rejection of people because of the standard that God's put in me, that God placed in me. And I've had to come to understand that if God wants me to do something and doesn't want Brother Mike, that's okay. If God wants me to get rid of all my televisions and doesn't ask Brother Mike to, I've had to accept that that's okay with me. And God chooses people differently. How he handles people differently. I'm just saying that I went through a real battle of discouragement. I went through a real pit, and God had to pull me out of the pit. And I had to finally come to God and say, God, I can't run from this anymore. I can't run from it anymore. I just have to accept it. Whatever happens, happens. Wherever I go is wherever I go. Wherever you place me is where I want to be placed. And I always felt that it was here. I always felt it. I always felt it in my spirit, but I was also afraid. Sometimes the enemy will play on that. Jeremiah feared the people. That's why he didn't look at them. But I had a place in here. But God delivered me out of a horrible pit by the Spirit of the Lord. It wasn't anything Brother Venable did, or he didn't even pray for me. It was something that happened in me at home, in my own personal life, in my own personal walk with Jesus. God pulled me out of that pit. I did unthinkable things that I even talked against. I did things that I shouldn't have done. And that's what happens when you get discouraged. You do the very things that you really don't want to do because of discouragement. But thank God, God is faithful. Thank God He is faithful. I stand here tonight by the grace and faithfulness of God, not because of the goodness of Sean, but by the grace and goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this night. I thank You for Your people. These are Your sheep, the people of Your hands, Father, the sheep of Your pastors, Father. Lord, let the Word of God just saturate them. Let it come alive to them tonight. Lord, let it convict and let it prick tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. And Lord, I thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. Verse 7 says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Is saying to the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God's Spirit is speaking in these last days. We see the toils. We see what happened in 9/11. We see what happened. We're seeing what's happening with the earthquake, the tsunami. All these terrible things are happening upon the face of the earth. But in the midst of all these terrible things, there's something God wants to say to you, to me. Something God's Spirit wants to say to you and me. God's Spirit is alive and well. God's Spirit is alive and well and is ready to move. God's Spirit wants to move. He wants to save your family. He wants to move in your life. He wants to bring you closer to the Father. He wants to testify of the Father. That's the Spirit of God. That's what God's Spirit wants to do. I want to talk about the Spirit of God tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. We're going to begin in the Old Testament, go over into the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. You see, it's important that we get in with the Spirit of God. Not the spirit of man, not the spirit of an organization, but the Spirit of God. There's a vast difference. The spirit of man, there is no change. The spirit of an organization, you will just do creeds and things like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. But the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's joy, there's peace. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Why did you start with that scripture, Brother Sean? I'll ask. Because we're living in a day where we're pressed. We've got little time for rest. And our jobs put demands on our bodies. And it seems that I, myself, and others, we're quick to get angry when we shouldn't. And if we can't rule our own spirit, we're in trouble, my brother and sister. We've got to be able to rule our own spirit. And hey, this hits home with me. I don't know about you, but it hits home with me. Go with me, please, to chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit, doesn't matter how it got broken, it can be fixed. As long as you draw nigh to God, as long as you seek God, as long as you love the Lord, your broken spirit can be fixed, your broken heart can be fixed. But you've got to allow God to work. You've got to allow God to move. You've got to allow God to change you. No matter what it is, you've got to allow God to change you. Go, please, to 18:14 in Proverbs. We're still in Proverbs. We haven't gone anywhere. We're still in there. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? How many spirits ever been wounded? Doesn't matter how it happened, whether somebody hurts you or what. When your spirit gets wounded, you just wanna quit. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't want to come to church. And we should do the exact opposite. We should come to church. Why? Because there's safety. George talked about bearing one another's burdens. That's exactly why we should come to church. So we can bear one another's burdens. So if somebody's down, we can lift them up and throw them a rope. Amen. Throw them a rope. Not cut their legs off or cut their head off, but throw them a rope. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Your spirit gets wounded, you can get in deep depression. Deep depression. And that kind of depression, only God can deliver you. I don't care if you go to Benny Hinn. I don't care if you go to Oral Roberts. Only God can deliver you. They're men. They have anointings, but only God can deliver you. There is no substitute for God. Not a man, not a woman with an anointing. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Father. It's all about the Son. It's all about the Spirit. And these three are one according to your Bible. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Why is that scripture there? Because sometimes our inward man gets dirty, needs cleaning out. Sometimes our spirit man, we just need to go and just confess to God because He knows anyway. He sees it all. He knows it all. He knows if our heart's cold. He knows if our heart's hard. He knows if we really love Him or if we're just playing a game or a facade. God knows it all. We can't fool. We can fool our brethren, but we can't fool God. Gerald fooled us, but he didn't fool God. I don't mean to bring up an old bone, but I'm just using that as an example. He fooled us, but you can't fool God. Can't fool God. Jimmy Swagger didn't fool God. Where does judgment begin? With us. The righteous begins with us. The spirit of a man. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That means all your good attitudes, bad attitudes, all your good habits, bad habits, everything about you. It's exactly what that scripture means. God knows you. Your husband might not know you, your wife might not know you, but God knows you. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We've got to have rule over our own spirit. Men, we've got to have rule over our own anger. Women, you've got to have rule over your own tongues and gossip. All of us need rule over our own spirit. And God wants us to rule it better so He can flow out of our bellies this year. God wants us to do so many things this year. This morning was a breaking point for this ministry. I'm telling you, it was a breaking point. They're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're going to just begin to come. They're going to begin to run to the altars. It's a paradox, you see. For years, you haven't seen it. You haven't seen people run to the altars. But in the days of old, when people would talk about Jesus, or when they would talk about the coming of the Lord, people would run to the altars because they wanted to get saved. They wanted to get right. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you need to get right, you need to get right because you're not promised tomorrow. I don't care what the song says of lean on me, that you, there's always tomorrow. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Life is but a vapor, the scripture says. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. God help us to get right with God. Brother Vimble always says there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. There's something wrong when we don't get right. There's something wrong when we allow our brother and sister who's taken in a fall to still come around us. I know you people get upset with me because we have a sister that's not coming around, but you know what? It's because I love her, you see. And the Bible says to turn such one over to Satan for the destruction of the body that the soul might be saved. Why? Because the soul is more important than the body. The soul is more important than the inconvenience of her flesh. And it's important that we get the mind of God on this issue. We get the heart of God. It's because I would rather not have her be my friend and make it to heaven than to be my friend and bust hell wide open. Because that's the issue, my brother and sister, it's heaven and hell. It's not whether they're my friend today or tomorrow. It's whether they're going to make it to heaven or hell. And we've got to love people enough to tell them whether they're going to heaven or going to hell. No matter how long they've been our friends or our acquaintances. It doesn't matter. The issue is heaven or hell. The issue is right and wrong. The issue is black and white. We're living in a day where the Spirit is speaking and we yet have men and women in the pulpits that all they want to talk about is money. I think God's got something more on the agenda than money. I think God has something more on the agenda than, is it such a time as this to go after gold and apparel? Or is it such a time as this to seek after the things of God, to seek His heart, to get His mind, to get His spirit, to get His heart for souls? I was reading last night, and I just began to weep like a baby because I came to the passages of Scripture where Jesus, when He went into a city, He had compassion on people and He healed the sick. I don't think you heard me. He healed the sick. He had compassion on people when He gave His disciples power over unclean spirits, power to heal the sick, and power to preach. Why? Because God loved us. His sole mission was to redeem you and me from a devil's hell, to redeem us from a curse. That was God's sole mission. And then as He goes and ascends to the Father, He says, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And in Pentecostalism, we think of the power. We don't think of the love. We don't think of the best friend that we can have through the Holy Spirit. And God gives us power, and the Holy Ghost has power, believe you me. But He's first and foremost the Comforter. He's first and foremost the testifier of Jesus. He's first and foremost the Spirit of truth. He's first and foremost the convictor of sin.
Yes, He is. Hallelujah.
It's important that we allow God's Spirit to move in us and we tap into the river of God. George, that's what you're into right now, my brother. You're in the river of God. Out of your belly is going to begin to flow rivers like you've never seen, my brother. Rivers of living water. That's where God wants us. He wants us in that river. He wants us flowing in the things of God. Not the things of the world, but the things of God. We're in the world, but we can't be of it, my brother and sister. You know what church means? You know what the word church means? It means called out ones. God wants a called out people. God wants a holy people. I can't get away from it. I can run from it. I can try to go around it, but I can't get away from it. Why? Because He wants to choose a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. That's what we're supposed to be according to the Scripture. But there are things in our lives we've got to get out. There are wells that we need to redig. There are things that we need to just put aside and put away. Turn with me, please, to the book of Romans. It's important that we let God's Spirit work in us and through us. It's important that we stay sensitive to the Spirit of God. Without His Spirit, we're nothing but mud. That's why the Baptists can have such a powerful Sunday school program, because they're going and evangelizing young people. Because they got people that actually care, not say they care. God's got our number this year, my brother and sister. I'm telling you, God's got our number. We've come here too long. We know too much. To whom much is given, much is required. You older women are supposed to teach the younger. Us older men are supposed to teach the younger men. We're supposed to take Marvin under our wing and make sure that, and pray that Christ is formed in him, that he might make it. He that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. This is an endurance race, not a wind sprint. And we can do it by the help and grace of God's Spirit. By the help and grace of God's Spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to be in Romans a while. Y'all might even be here till 9 o'clock. I got a lot here, and I know I'm not going to get it all done. I've got 4 pages of information, and I'm just trying to get it all in, and I know I'm not going to. I'm off tomorrow, so praise the Lord. I'll have mercy on y'all. I'm just trying to give a little sugar to make the medicine go down. Romans 1, 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Wow, a Spirit of holiness. I think of the Old Testament, the Spirit of whoredoms. And how judgments hit the land. And how we have the Spirit of whoredoms in America today. I just shoot straight. I'm sorry. I can't shoot any other way. I can't shoot any other way. I don't know how to not just declare and just be bold of what God's Word says. I don't know any other way, so you'll just have to excuse me. That there are whoredoms in the land. We've got denominations accepting homosexual preachers, and God's Word's clear on it. Judgment's fixing to hit the house of God, my brother and sister. They're not listening to the Spirit of God. I don't think you heard me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. Well, I guarantee you the Spirit of God's not telling us to accept homosexual ministers in pulpits or homosexual priests. God loves the homosexual. And if you're a homosexual and you hear this tape or if you hear this CD, God loves you, but He hates your sin. You cannot invert or pervert the Word of God. God's Word is clear on it, my brother and sister. He makes no exceptions. He didn't do it to the children of Israel, and He won't do it today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, was because of sin. That's why God sent a second Adam to redeem us from the curse of sin. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to be the convictor of sin, my brother and sister. It all comes down to a head, a common denominator of, are you on the Lord's side or are you on the devil's side? As for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. It's time that we let the Spirit of holiness begin to flow in our life. And my wife and I ran late this morning because we were praying. And I prayed some things that I'm pretty sure the Lord's going to call me on, and that's okay. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to lead my house. I'm not afraid to give up the cable if the Lord wants me to. Oh yeah, I want God every part of my life. Because it's a lot easier sitting for me to watch that TV coming home than to get in my Bible and pray. Especially after I put in 12 hours. Just admit it, you all do the same thing. We all come home and we're like, I made it home. We all do it, but you know what? God's Spirit wants to empower us to seek His face. Amen. I'm telling you, you might get tired, but once you get in the presence of the Lord, He'll give us some energy. He'll give us some energy. He'll give us some energy. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I may mention of you in my prayers. That's not what I wanted, but that's okay. I'll read it anyway. But God's Spirit is ever moving. God's Spirit wants to move in this church, in this body, in this congregation this year like He's never moved before. He's going to give us waters to swim in if we allow Him. He's going to give us souls that are going to come in here. We're going to need other people to come and help us if we allow Him. If we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. But we have to be willing and obedient. Thank God, I believe many of my brothers and sisters here want to be willing and obedient. I know we're not perfect. I know God's still working on us, but it all comes down to if we're willing and obedient. It all comes down to just being sensitive to the Spirit of God. If He convicts us, instead of running, just say, "You're right, Father. You put your finger on that." And God gets us all every Sunday. Every single one of us, He gets us. And it's not to say we're bad people. It's just He wants us closer to the Father. He wants us walking in the light as He is in the light. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. We're talking about a good shepherd. We're talking about a good Father. Father God. The Father that sent the Son. The Son that sent the Spirit. And these three are one. It's important that we allow Him to move in and through our lives. It's important that we allow the conviction of the Holy Ghost to convict us, to change us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of truth is, there will be no error. But we have to allow the Spirit of truth. We have to allow God's Spirit to lead us, to guide us into all truth. That means if we got something that we think is right, and God's Spirit puts His finger on it and we're wrong, then we got to admit that we're wrong, my brother and sister, because God's Spirit knows a lot more than you and I both hold a candle to. I've been wrong before. I'll be the first to admit it. We living in a day where the Spirit expresses itself in the last days, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I guarantee you one thing. Anybody that allows a homosexual minister in the pulpit is listening to a doctrine of a devil. That's the day we're living in, my brother and sister. We're living in the day of the apostate church. We're witnessing the apostate church. Thank you, my sister. We're witnessing, but hey, all this negative, God's going to do something supernatural. All this negative, God's going to do something supernatural. See, you go to a car battery, you got to have a negative and a positive to turn that motor. The motor of the Holy Ghost is fixing to get cranked up this year. It's going to get cranked up this year if we allow Him. We allow the Spirit of God to work in us. He's going to work a work like we've never seen before. He's going to work a work, my brother and sister. Romans chapter 7, please. But now we are delivered from the law. Hallelujah. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See, Brother Venable taught this morning about the new covenant. That all pertains to the new covenant. Walk in the newness of the life. Why? Because the old covenant was abolished when Jesus said, "This is the new covenant of my blood." God wants us walking in that new covenant. God wants us claiming that new covenant. God wants us living in that new covenant. Because in that new covenant, we find the blessing and assuredness of help. Notice I didn't say money. I didn't say things. Although God will give us money and God will give us things. But that's not the first and foremost thing we should be hearing on the television. We should be hearing a trumpet blare. We should be hearing a trumpet blast. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming. Are you ready? The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of Jesus is coming. Are you ready? The issue isn't whether your husband or your mama or your daddy or your wife or your sister or your brother is serving God. The issue is, it gets right down to the nitty gritty. The issue is, are you serving God? The issue is, are you going to heaven? The issue is, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? The issue isn't is what Brother Doug doing or what's Brother Sean doing. The issue is what's Brother Hoopendicker doing. What's Brother Smith doing. That's the issue. The issue is, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? What are you doing in your own personal life at home to allow the Spirit of God to flow in and through your life? Because God's Spirit wants to move. And He can only move through us. He can't move through this fan. He can only move through His people. And it's us that can crimp it like a water hose. We can either crimp it or we can let it gush out. We can crimp it or we can let it gush out. 1 Corinthians. God's Spirit is ever ready. God's Spirit ever intercedes for us. God the Father intercedes for us when we're in trouble. That's powerful. That means when I was going through my discouragement, Christ was praying for me. Even though y'all were praying, even though everybody prays, we're all supposed to pray for one another every day. I'm guilty of not doing that, so I'm just going to confess. And I know y'all do it every day, right? It just feels so good to be right and clean and honest before the Lord. Better to be honest than dishonest. We can look at Ananias and Sapphira, how they were dishonest to the Spirit of the Lord. They dropped dead in the presence of all those people. That was in the New Covenant, my brother and sister. That was in the New Testament. God's judgment hit them because they lied to the Holy Ghost. You can blaspheme a lot of things, but you cannot blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Sam Kennison blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. A day later, he was dead. And I know that he busted hell wide open because I don't believe he had a chance to repent, because there is no forgiveness for that sin. There's forgiveness for every other sin but that one. That's the one unpardonable sin that you read about in Scripture. The blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. And it's time us Pentecostal ministers begin to declare it once again. You can speak a word against Jesus. You can speak a word against the Father. You can't speak a word against the Holy Ghost. Whew, that's powerful. Because why? Because it's the Spirit of God. And I'm going to go in a little bit later to some of my notes here of just acts of the Holy Spirit, things He does, ministries of the church, ministry among believers. The Holy Spirit just does so much more than just gives us power. Just does so much more. I know when we read it, when we first got saved, it was all about power. 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 wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. And God has power, and the Holy Ghost has power. But I'll take the love of God over the power of God any day. I don't think you heard me. I'll take God's love over His power any day. I've been down some roads where I needed that love. I needed that hug. I needed that wooby of the Holy Spirit to come and hug me. There's nothing like Christ's love. It's what makes me want to serve Him. When everybody does me wrong, it's what makes me want to do what's right and go on anyway. Wife and I have been through some things where we've forgiven people because it was the right thing to do. That's not what our flesh wanted to do. It's what the Bible said for us to do. Jesus sits down at the Mount of Olives and begins to teach. He probably grabbed an old basket hamper back in those days and sat down on top of it. They didn't have chairs or sat on the grass. And He just begins to teach. If a man revile you, revile not. If a man smite you on the cheek, turn the other one to him. Do good to those that despitefully use you. If they speak all manner of evil of you, rejoice. Those are the words of our Master. Those are the words of our Master. And He did it sitting down. We think that if we don't see a Holy Ghost preacher up dancing, screaming, yelling, hollering, that it's not anointed. Guess what, my brother and sister? That was the most anointed sermon probably ever in the Bible. Because it was from our Lord and Savior. It was from our Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit, of the Spirit and of power. We're living in a day where we need to see that kind of demonstration of God's Spirit and power. We're living in a day where I haven't really seen the demonstration of power and Spirit like God wants to show us. Seen it here. I'm talking about other places I've been to. Talking about on the television. It's quiet in here again. God's Spirit is just wants to move in us, my brother and sister. God's Spirit just wants to move in us. Why? Because if we get connected with the Spirit of God, we're walking with the Spirit of God. We're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and we're walking with the Spirit of God. And Brother Mike comes in here, and he's down, and he's discouraged, and God speaks to my heart. And I take Mike outside, and we pray, and he gets lifted up. That's why God wants us to walk in the Spirit. That's why He wants us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because there are times our brethren need us. There are times that we need one another. There are, you know, apples of a word fitly spoken in season is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. That's why we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. There might be somebody that's down that just needs a word that'll lift them up, that'll bring them up. That you don't know what type of week they had. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they lost their husband. Maybe they lost a child. But a word fitly spoken in season is like apples of gold. George was going through things at the Holy Church of God, and I would say something, and he'd always get a little aggravated to me, just a little bit. Because he would go, oh, just get away from me. And that's just because I was giving him a word of encouragement. And he had to do what the Word says, and I knew he would. So I would begin to encourage him. And it's just amazing how far God has brought this body of people. And I'm telling you, if we get into a unity, God's Spirit is going to flow through us like never before. Like never before. God's Spirit, it was here tonight. It was here this morning. The Spirit of God just wants to saturate this place and convict the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls to come to the Father's house. The prodigal son came back home to the Father's house. You can backslide in church. You can backslide out of church. The question is to front slide, to keep getting right with God. If you fall 100 times, get back up, because you might fall. You might make it that 101st time. God is awesome. God is awesome. Skip down to verse 8. That's just a scribble I made. Never mind. In my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God's Spirit, my brother and sister, wants to work in you, wants to move in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is there now for no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I read that passage of Scripture, and I wonder, and I contemplate, and I have to ask myself, and I pray for my... I don't say this out of a judgmental... I just say this out of a compassionate heart for men and women, boys and girls across the world, that when they flip their television on, they're looking for something. If they've got a gun to their head, they're looking for a word so they don't kill themselves. They don't need to hear somebody asking them for money. I read this and I ask myself, they're carnally minded according to the Scripture. They're walking after the flesh according to the Scripture. And I'm not saying God doesn't want us blessed, because He's blessed me last year like never before. And He's going to bless me some more this year, because I'm going to receive it. Y'all do what you want to. I'm going to take the blessings of the Lord. But the blessings of the Lord I'm talking about, I would rather have a double portion of anointing than things. I would rather have things be flowing in the gifts of the Spirit than things of the world. That's just where it is for me, that I want to be able to flow in the things of God like God wants us to flow in. God wants us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. God said to seek earnestly the best gifts. God said to despise not prophesying. That's what your Bible says. So we need to seek to prophesy, not to be seen of men. And if you're seeking to be used in the gift of prophecy to be seen of men, God's not going to use you. Because pride goeth before a fall. And God knows it. It scares me to death when Patty gives out an interpretation and Brother Venable's not here. Why? Because I tremble at God using me like that. Because it's a holy thing. It's a precious thing. And too many times we Pentecostals, we get so accustomed to it that we lose the sight of that holy, that precious thing. God wants to reiterate it to us. God wants to make it afresh to us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, my brother and sister. Just as Jesus, when He came on the scene, He read the scroll and said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free, to preach good news." Is that same Spirit is on you, my brother and sister. It is no different than it was on Him that day. Now, He was able to move and flow in it. Why? Because as soon as He read that, the Spirit of the Lord drove Him into the wilderness. And He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And when He got done fasting, when He came out of the wilderness, He came out in the power of the Spirit. And that's where God wants us to be, my brother and sister. He wants us to be in the power of the Spirit. He wants us to be flowing in the power of the Spirit. He wants us to be moving in the power of the Spirit. Not in the power of our agenda or my agenda, but in the power of God's Spirit. Because God's Spirit is going to do things that we wouldn't do, that our carnal mind wouldn't do, that our thought process wouldn't do. God does things that we wouldn't do. God speaks plainly to people that we wouldn't say. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. When Jesus came out, He came out in the power of the Spirit. And God wants us that same way. God wants us that same way. God wants us to seek Him and to have that same power of Spirit. The Bible says how Jesus was anointed without measure. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Him without measure. Well, guess what, my brother and sister? We can have that same Spirit without measure. The difference is there's going to be some consecration that has to take place. Some consecration that's got to take place. And I don't understand everything, but I do know one thing. God, we are what we are by the grace of God. I understand that. But I do also understand that He is the Holy Spirit. And He makes our temples of the Lord holy. See, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not by any other thing. We're clean through the water of washing by the Word. We're clean by the blood of the Lamb. We're clean by the blood. The Holy Ghost couldn't live in here if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. Marvin, seek the Holy Ghost. Seek to be baptized in Him. Because He'll give you the power to live for Him, son. He gives us the power to become the sons of God. That means we can't do it in and of ourselves, but we can do it by the help and grace of God. We can do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. We can live for this man called Jesus. We can do everything that God has called us to do. If He's called you to sing, sing the high praises. If He's called you to teach a Sunday school room, teach a Sunday school room. Whatever God has called you to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, not for the pastor, not to be accepted by men and women, but do it for Jesus. If you clean this church, clean it for Jesus. God's Spirit is ever ready to move. God's Spirit. God's been waiting on us. We ain't waiting on God. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to seek Him. He's waiting on us to pray diligently enough. He's waiting on us to devote more time. What are you going to do this year with the Spirit of God? What are you going to do this year with everything God's shown us already early in this year? All the things He's spoken to us through the gifts of the Spirit. What are you going to do with that information, my brother and sister? We've got to run with it. The Lord told us this morning to run with the vision. We've got to run with the vision. We've got to run. We've walked. We've crawled. We've walked. Now God wants us to run with the Spirit of God. God wants us to run with the Spirit of God. In your belly, in your spirit, is the holiest of holies. In your belly, in your body, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, in your body is the temple. Well, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It lives, it resides right in here, my brother and sister. God wants it to begin to gush out. Gush out. You look at Niagara Falls, it's just running. It's just flowing. It's just flowing. And all you hear is the roar of the water. That's where God wants to take us. He wants the roar of His Spirit flowing in and out of us. He wants it flowing in and out of us, my brother and sister. He wants His Spirit to be the first and foremost thing in our life. He wants it. We go to buy something. He wants us to ask Him. He may not want us to buy it. It's the little things that spoil the vine, my brother and sister. Not the great big things we know not to do. It's those little bitty things. The little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not, you know, going to the club because we don't go to the club. It's not the alcohol because we're not drinking alcohol. It's the little intuitions. It's the little in windows. It's those little things God wants us to take care of. They had to redig the wells in the Old Testament. They dug wells and water was flowing, but they covered the wells up. But they had to go back and redig the wells. God wants us to redig our well. God wants us to tap into that well. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, according to the Scriptures. That's where God wants to take us this year. That's where God's Spirit wants to take us. He wants us to be so in tune of the Spirit that if He says, I want you to go to the 7-Eleven, we run into a backslider. We don't know why we're going to the 7-Eleven, but God does. That's where God wants us. That's how sensitive He wants us to be to His Spirit. Because He's going to use us just as He used Jesus. The same manner. That's where God wants us. The life He wants us to live, that's where God wants us. The Holy Spirit. This part's the work in the world, creates Job 33:4, renews Isaiah 32:15, convicts men, John 16:8-11. Work of the Holy Spirit in Christ's ministry. Christ conceived, Luke 1:35. Miracles performed by Matthew 12:28. Anointed by Matthew 3:16. Supported by Luke 4:1-17. Filled by Luke 4:1, offered to God by Hebrews 9:14, raised by Romans 1:4, justified by 1 Timothy 3:16. The Holy Spirit's ministry among us believers, my brother and sister, is this. It regenerates John 3:35, indwells Romans 8:11, anoints John 2:20-27, baptizes Acts 2:17-41, guides John 16-13, empowers Micah 3:8, sanctifies Romans 15:16, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, bears witness, Romans 8:16, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. The Holy Spirit's work is also to comfort. He's the comforter, the Bible says. John 14:16-26 gives joy. Romans 14:17 gives discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. 1 John 4:1-6 bears fruit. Galatians 5:22-23 gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:3-11. Those are just ministries the Holy Spirit wants us to flow in, wants us to just be able to let God give gifts, bears fruit. We've got to bear fruit this year, my brother and sister. This is going to be the most fruit-bearing year the Holy Church of God has ever seen, and us as a congregation has ever seen before. This is going to be the most joyous year. Why? Because we're going to bear the fruit. That's why it's going to be the most joyous year, because the souls are going to come in. The greatest miracle of all is going to happen, because we're going to allow the Spirit of the Lord to move in and through our lives. Would you please stand? God is ready to move. God is ready to convict. God is ready to use us to touch our lost loved ones that are on their way to hell. We're going to allow the Spirit of the Lord to allow His fragrance to flow out of our lives. Father, I thank You for this day. Whatever You want done, Father, can be done, Father God. People need to be healed, Father. You can heal them. They need to be set free, Father. You can set them free. Because that's the God that we serve, a good and gracious God. Oh, Father, I thank You for this night and this hour that we live in. I thank You to be born into such a time as this. Father, I thank You for the divine appointments that You're going to bring across our path, Father God. I thank You for the backsliders that are going to come home, Father God. I thank You for the lost loved ones that are going to be saved. I thank You for the souls that are coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, Father. I thank You, Father, for the ministries that are going to get started up again, Father. I thank You for the prayer meetings that are going to begin again, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, I praise Your holy name. You are worthy. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Just worship the Lord. Worship Him. You know, I think about Zerubbabel and how he came and that mountain stood before him. And the Spirit of the Lord came to Zerubbabel and He said, "The mountain that stands before you, this is for somebody here. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord." I think of the other time when the Spirit of the Lord fell on Samson and He did such mighty acts under the anointing. The enemy might come at you one way, but the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard, and He's going to have to flee before you seven ways. We're going to be attacked. You can expect it. We're going to go through trials. You can expect it. But one thing I know, God is faithful. God is with us. He is He's a very present help in the time of trouble. We can run to Him and we can be safe. The righteous run into Him and they are self. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We've got to dwell in that safety, my brother and sister. We've got to dwell in Psalms 91. We've got to live there for these dark days that are upon us. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor power, but by the very Spirit of the Lord. Jesus is real. He's alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of God the Father. I am tired of hearing these men say that He went to hell. That's heresy. That's just flat out heresy. I don't know any other way to put it. He did not go to hell. He went to paradise, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and went on up into glory with Abraham and all those that were there. You want to stand for the faith? Just live the faith. God, let His joy flood your soul. The best defense is a good offense. Get in your Word. Get in your Bible. Grab your husband, take him by the hand, and pray with him. Those of you that are timid are going to begin to move in great boldness this year in the Lord. Those of you that are fearful are going to be bold as a lion according to the Scripture. Why? Because you're righteous. Your sins have been forgiven. You're the very elect of God. Thank you, Jesus. Worship the Lord. If there's any sick, we'll pray and you'll be healed. That's just the Bible. That's just what the Word says. We're a Word church. We're a Word church. We believe what the Bible says. That's the book for me. The KJV's the book for me. That's just the book for me, my brother and sister. It's an amazing thing. As I was studying today, we'll pray and get out of here. This is it. I've read some verses from the New American Standard and some of the other ones on the PC Bible study program that I got. And I read the New American Standard and got confused. Had to go back to the KJV and says, you know what? I'm tired of all these translations. But it's come to this. I laugh at it, but there's also a serious side to it. Because there's going to be more perversions and more perversions and more perversions when it comes to His holy Word, where we're going to have to make a stand. God puts His stamp on this. Every move of God I've ever seen was King James Version and people just seeking God and praying. I'm not saying God can't use any others. That's just what I've personally seen. Because holy men of God were moved by the Spirit and wrote. Not saying He's 100% correct, but I'm just saying this is God, where God's approval is the King James Version. And it's important. If you use other versions, that's fine, but just go back to the King James Version. It's fifth grade, elementary. You can understand it. And if you're having trouble, ask the Spirit of Truth. He'll help you. Ask the Spirit of Truth. He will help you and lead you and guide you into all truth. When we go to these other translations, we get men's persuasions, their intellects. And we're going to see a politically correct Bible real soon if we're not careful. This book and the Scripture says, and we can't take it away. We can't take nothing away from it. If we do, we're in danger of hell. That's what Revelation says. Can't add to or take away. We got to leave it where it lays. Can't put our spin on it. We just need to leave it where it lays. It's God's set this format up perfectly. We don't need any addition, don't need any subtraction. It just doesn't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for my brethren. I pray that, Father, as they go through this week, Father God, that they take time and just get along with You, Father God, and just seek Your face, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, that time they just set aside for You, Father God. I pray that they take it, Father. I pray that they allow the Holy Spirit, Father, to work in them like never before, Father God. And I pray that You would bless them, that You would cause Your face to shine on them, Father. And I pray that You would bless them exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or think, according to the power of God that works in them, Father God. And Lord, I thank You and praise You for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.